This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Nationwide is so much more than a great insurance company. They're one of America's largest financial services companies. Like how I'm more than Saquon Barkley, the NFL's reigning leading rusher. I'm also the NFL's leading husher. Shh, hush up back there. Wow, I might have just set the hushing record. Well, almost. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side.
Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Tuesday, December 30th, and this is your daily Go Birds Morning Update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And I hope everyone that was in Buffalo for the Eagles win over the Bills, and also to hang with us, the Go Birds pod and fans of Philly, hope you all had a safe trip home on Monday. I drove back from Buffalo to Philly on Monday. The wind was crazy. It was raining. I saw a lot of flights got canceled out. I'll say this about Buffalo. Great football town. I finally did have some wings that I really liked. It was from this place called Wing Nuts. They almost made me change my opinion on bone-in wings versus wings without bones. They were that good. So a great football city, but they're not kidding about the weather up there. Like, it truly does impact everything. So, including the Eagles offense, maybe. But, so anyway, I hope anyone that went to the game got home safe. And if you didn't go to the game, I hope you had a safe victory Monday regardless, because it was certainly a classic Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts victory Monday, where you could be excited about it. They won, but it certainly felt like you had to defend the fact that they won. So we got a lot to get into today. I got home from Buffalo on Monday, rewatched the game, and I feel like my general opinion on a game kind of goes like this. Like, I watch it live, I have my initial reaction to it. Then I'm in the locker room, I talk to the players, talk to the coaches, and my opinion shifts a little bit from there. Or, like, you know, I have more of an opinion on that. And then after I do the Jalen Hurts rewatch report card, which we will get into today, I feel like I have my final kind of opinion on what the game was, right? So we are going to talk a lot about that today. We're going to do the Jalen Hurts rewatch report card. I want to talk about the running game, the offense in the first half versus the second half as a whole, and kind of, you know, put a bow on the Bills game before we start to look forward to next week and the playoffs, and talk about what type of issues, both, you know, I guess really only negative issues, what type of issues and positives came from the Buffalo game that we should think about moving into the playoffs. So we got a lot to get into today, but let's start with what we always do, with what is on the schedule for today. And what we now know is that the Eagles and Washington Commanders play their final game of the season on Sunday at 4:30. So Sunday, or 4:25, the Eagles play their final game of the season at Lincoln Financial Field. As we know, if they win and the Bears lose, they get the number 2 seed. If the Bears win, the Eagles will be the number 3 seed. So that is what is up for grabs on Sunday. And as a result, the Eagles and Bears, the Bears play the Lions, will play at the exact same time on Sunday. So Sunday will be scoreboard watching and seeing where the Eagles are going to land from a seeding perspective. So that is one piece of news for what's on the schedule. But as a result of them playing on Sunday, we got a normal week coming up at the NovaCare Complex. We'll hear from the coordinators later today, probably, you know, their normal 11:30 press conference, hear from Vic Fangio, Petullo, Michael Clay, And then I'd assume Wednesday we'll start the regular week. Nick Sirianni, they'll practice, they'll do all those good things. So it'll be a normal work week for the Eagles, regular Sunday to Sunday work week. And one thing to consider with the Eagles playing on Sunday, the Eagles Commanders, I mean, is it probably means they're going to play their first playoff game on Sunday. The first round of the playoffs are played on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday night. We know Monday night has always been the 4-5 matchup. The Eagles will not be the 4 or the 5 seed, so they won't play on Monday night. It's possible they play on Saturday, but with how many short weeks they've played this year, I'd be a little surprised if they put the Eagles from 4:30 Sunday to Saturday. So my guess is they will be the marquee game on Sunday. Wouldn't shock me if it was not like the early game. Like they'll either be 4:30 prime time, whatever it is. So I think this is a stretch of the Eagles getting regular Sunday to Sunday to Sunday play, which is good because the players have talked a lot about how the different schedules this year, playing on Fridays, Thursdays, Saturdays, Sundays, Mondays, how it's really thrown off their work week and their ability to prepare for a game. So I think if they can get a nice Sunday to Sunday to Sunday stretch, that maybe they could start to put things together. So, yeah, anyway, long convoluted way of saying normal schedule for the Eagles this week. Coordinators today at 11:30. And, yeah, they prepare for the game on Sunday against the Commanders. The injury report. Seems like the Eagles got out of this last game pretty healthy. At this point, really the only injury concerns moving forward are Lane Johnson. And then if you want to include Andrew Mukuba, since I guess there's a small outside chance he's able to play, I don't think they'll put him back out there. I think they'll stick with Marcus Epps. But Lane Johnson's really the one to watch. So the Eagles will hold some version of a practice on Wednesday, and we'll get an indication like if he's out there. You know, it's possible that he is ready to practice now, but won't this week because of the game on Sunday potentially not really having much meaning, which we'll talk about in a second. But Lane Johnson, the name to keep an eye on this week as the Eagles prepare for their playoff push. It's a bit of a tongue twister. I was doing a tongue twister last week. People used to do it when they were growing up. It was pick a pack of pickled peppers. I kind of crushed that one, but it is harder than you think. So anyway, let's get into the pod, and let's get into what Nick Sirianni had to say on Monday speaking to the media. And we'll start with next week before we dive into everything he had to say about the Bills game. So Nick was asked twice, essentially, what the plan is for next week. And, you know, just to hammer it home in case you haven't been following, the Eagles and the Bears will play at the same time. If the Eagles win and the Bears lose, they'll be the 2 seed. So basically, Nick Sirianni has a choice. Does he play the starters to beat Washington in hopes that the Bears lose to put them up a seed? And if they go to the 2 seed, they're guaranteed that second playoff game, if they win the first one, will be at home. And they know their opponent. They know it'll be the Packers. Whereas if they're the 3 seed, you're likely, I mean, you are playing one of the Niners or Seahawks or Rams. So you're playing one of the NFC West teams. So the decision Nick has to make is, does he play his starters to try to move up, or does he rest them, let the results fall where they may, and you'll just be whatever seed you're going to be, either 2 or 3. So Nick was asked about it initially early in his press conference and said a lot of classic Nick things, like we'll do what's best for the team, blah, blah, blah. Then later on, he was asked, like, why wouldn't you play for the 2 seed? Like, what would be why wouldn't you try to advance higher in the playoff seeding? And in theory, give you a better chance to advance in the playoffs. And I think this is where we got Nick's real answer on what he's going to do. So here is Nick talking about potentially playing the players next week and the, you know, debate of the 2 seed versus what would be rest if they didn't play them.
Now that you know the situation with seeding in the NFC, what's your plan for week 18? And if you can you take us into the background of how you make a decision like that?
Yeah, I guess it's really still, there's still things up in the air as far as seeding goes, right? I mean, it's pretty similar to where we were last week. What you end up going through is, obviously we've done it both ways. We've had opportunities to rest. We've had opportunities to continue to get a better seed and played. So really, I don't think, you know, your process, you go through your process, you go through all those different things, but every season's a little bit different. Every team's a little bit different. We'll end up doing what we think's the best for the team. And that, you know, as we go through our process, and we're still thinking through that, you know, that's not a decision I have to make today, or even tomorrow. It's just something that you have to go through the process of making it. And so, again, at the end of the day, we'll do what we feel is best for the team. I know there'll be debate about, you know, whatever it is that we do, but, you know, that's why we have to go through our process and do what we feel is best to help our team, you know, moving forward.
So I think it's pretty obvious in there when he talks about, you know, manufacturing bye weeks, how important it's been for them, how the 2 years they've gone to the Super Bowl, they've had that bye week. So I think it's pretty obvious what they're going to do. Now, they're not going to be able to sit every starter. Like, some guys will play. You still have to field a team on Sunday with enough players to have guys out there, right? You can't sit all 22 starters and every player that has some type of meaningful role. So you will see some guys out there, but seems pretty obvious to me that they're going to rest some guys. And the complicating part of that is, well, all right, let's say you want to give Landon Dickerson, Cam Jurgens, Jordan Mailata rest, right? Well, then are you going to put Jalen back there? And if you're not going to put Jalen back out there because you don't want him behind that offensive line, are you going to put Devontae and AJ and Saquon out there with Tanner McKee? Like, you could, but I think it'll likely be almost all the starters on offense will rest. Wouldn't shock me, like, if Fred Johnson played, maybe Tyler Steen plays. You'll see a lot of Tank Bigsby. You'll obviously see some of the tight ends. And then on defense, you know, they'll probably rest the older guys as well. Like, maybe Jalen Carter plays, although honestly, he's so important. I could see them sitting him anyway. So to me, though, it sounds like they're not going to play. Nick was also asked about how Dan Quinn said, you know, we'll see them in 2 weeks after the Eagles went for two in their win over Washington. He basically said that's not going to impact what they do. My guess is they want the rest. They don't think there's a huge benefit to having the two seed because, again, like, they could have that second game at home anyway. Like, the two seed could lose the first game, and then obviously they'd be the highest seed at that point besides the one seed. So my guess is we are not going to see them. I do think there is a chance that Tanner McKee, Tank Bigsby, Jahan Dotson could beat Washington. Like, Washington's playing mostly backups at this point as well. They're an extremely injured team. They don't have anything to play for. So it's very possible that the Eagles just win anyway. It's what happened last year when they rested Saquon and the starters in that final game. But yeah, I don't think we'll see the starters on Sunday. Doesn't mean I think they'll definitely lose, but I don't think we will see them in that game. All right, let's get into what Nick had to say about the win over the Buffalo Bills. And I said in yesterday's Daily Pod, you know, you should be happy with the win, right? Like, we're living in a time of Eagles football where they win almost all the time. We're living in a time of Eagles football where they win big games all the time. They went into Buffalo. They beat a Bills team that almost never loses there in December. They beat a Bills team that probably be the favorite to come out of the AFC. So I definitely understand that however they get it, they got it, and they got the win. And there will be years with the Eagles franchise where the idea of them going to a tough AFC opponent on the road in December and winning will be laughable, right? So I understand being excited about the win. But now that I've rewatched the game, let's get into some more specifics about the offensive side of the ball. We know the defense was great. You know, no debating that. They were absolutely phenomenal. But let's talk about why the offense was so awesome in the first half and really struggled in the second half. So Nick was asked about that, what he saw in the difference between the first and second half. And here's what he had to say.
There's been a few times this year where you've had an efficient half offensively and then an inefficient one. After you watched the film yesterday, any themes coming across when that does happen?
Yeah, you know, we watched the tape from yesterday, graded the tape, went through it, offense, defense, special teams. That's something that's on our, you know, we're going to watch all those in conjunction with each other, you know, this today, tomorrow, to kind of look at some of those things right there. I think, again, at the end of the day, we got to do a better job putting them in position to succeed. We got to do a better job executing. It's never just one thing, but that's something we're going to study, you know, and we have been studying, but we'll put it all together here again later today, tomorrow.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Not a ton there, right? But I will say that, You know, we'll get into this with the Jalen Hurts rewatch report card too. If you've listened to me throughout the season, if you have, thank you very much. If you haven't, welcome, and thank you for starting to listen to the Go Birds pod. You know that not often have I said on this pod that guys, like, that when I watched the tape, guys weren't open. Like, I normally see guys open, and normally for me, the issue has been getting them the ball, right? I do think a major difference between the first and second half was guys were open in the first half, guys were not open in the second half. And we'll do like a play-by-play of all of Jalen's 7 attempts in the second half in the rewatch report card and go through it. But like, I agree with Nick. I don't think they did a good job putting them in a good position to succeed in the second half. Now, there were a lot of factors in that, right? And this is according to Brett Coleman, an NFL analyst on Twitter. And I thought he kind of summarized the second half meltdown well. So I watched the Eagles' second half meltdown. Their average yards before contact per attempt was literally zero. Their pressure rate allowed was 75%. Four of Hurts' 7 passes were throwaways. He had one good pocket on 3rd and 10 and promptly ran from it. Not saying coaches are blameless, but the players themselves also have to take accountability for whatever that was. End quote. And so normally when Nick says something like, we have to do a better job putting them in position to succeed, they have to do a better job executing, paraphrasing there. Normally, I think he's just saying that. But I do think in this instance, he's dead on. Like, I do think... that they didn't do a good job scheming guys open in the second half. And I think that the offensive line, the running game, and really Jalen I thought was better, which we'll get into. But it was really bad in the second half. I mean, you guys knew that. They only had 16 yards. But when you rewatch it, it really was a complete meltdown. Or not even meltdown. It was just a complete lack of quality football from them. Now, the first half definitely came across way better than I remembered it. I thought that Jalen was awesome in the first half. Only 13 points, but, you know, I mean, that's on pace for 26, which would have been a good outcome. You know, really with that, there was the AJ pass interference that probably should have been called. Like, I thought they had chances to score more points, but I thought Jalen was really good in the first half. So it just definitely stood out more how the first half, I thought there were a lot of really promising things. The second half, it really was worse than I thought. I feel like normally when I rewatch the game, I don't come away like as convicted about what I saw in the game. Like, normally I'll change my opinion on something, and I change it here somewhat. But I just think they were better in the first half than I expected when I watched the game, and worse in the second half than I expected when I watched the game. Now, obviously, second halves have been a problem for the Eagles this year. Jalen Hurts has had 2 games this year with 0 yards and 0 completions. It could happen again to Jalen, but like, I covered the team for a long time. I don't remember it ever happening to like McNabb, Carson, Bradford, Vic, like Foles. So it's just very, very rare. I think there's only been 10 games this year where that's happened, and the Eagles have 2 of them. So like, it's just very rare. So Nick was asked about the 0 yards in the second half, and it was phrased in a way like, was that just part of the formula? Which I believe was trying to say, were you taking your foot off the gas essentially to try to conserve the lead? So Nick was asked about that, and here's what he had to say.
Jalen has had 2 different second halves this season where he threw for 0 yards, but you guys won both of those games. Just trying to make sense of that. Is that something that is, I know you don't want 0 yards, but is that sort of part of the formula, or are you looking at it as something that needs to get rectified?
Yeah. You know, obviously, like I said to you guys yesterday, like, being up 13-0 at half is not, I mean, you'd rather be up 13-0 than be down 13-0, obviously. But by no means are we ever saying, hey, that's good. That's good. You know, take your foot off the pedal. Like, we're trying to press still and go and continue. You don't start thinking about that until well into the fourth quarter of when you start to get into type of football where you're, and it's not even taking your foot off the gas, where you're using clock and doing things like that. Again, we just all have to, you know, I have to do a better job in that second half to, you know, to allow us to be in those positions. You know, I think that we weren't efficient first, second down, and then we had obviously had a hard time there on third down. And when you get into those where you're having some 3 and outs, you know, when drives don't extend, obviously your yards are coming way down, your efficiency is coming way down. All those things are happening. And so I think it makes it look like, you know, we had a very limited amount of plays, but, you know, we weren't executing, we weren't putting them guys in positions to succeed to allow drives to start so we could get into that. Again, you never want no passing yards, obviously. And obviously we didn't have very many rushing yards either. So it was everything. It wasn't just, you know, the passing game. We just weren't efficient enough on offense, and that, and we all share in that, you know, execution.
So the foot off the gas thing to me is always a tricky kind of subject, because on one hand, I think you can look at it and say they did run the ball more in the second half. Like, they started drives with runs, right? And you can view that as going conservative. But, like, to defend the coaches here for a second, if you're up 13 points and your defense is playing unbelievable, and you're up 13 points, by the way, like, for the majority of that second half, the Bills didn't score until 5 minutes ago in the fourth quarter. So I do think there is logic in saying, let's try to kill clock. The Bills' run defense is terrible. Now, the disappointing part for the Eagles is they did a poor job of running the ball. But I could see why you would say you're up 13-0. Let's run the ball and try to kill clock, but also trust that we can run the ball because they have a bad rushing defense, and in theory, we're supposed to have a good rushing offense. That being said, like, the offense was way worse in the second half. It didn't feel like guys were getting open in the passing game the same way they did in the first half. Now, Jalen mentioned after the game that they went to more man coverage, the Bills did. And if it was an adjustment like that that threw the Eagles off, like, that's disappointing from a coaching perspective. So I do believe Nick when he says, you know, we didn't try to take our foot off the gas. I just think they were, A, probably didn't adjust well to the Bills' change to man coverage, right? Which is not acceptable. I'm just saying, I think that actually was part of it. And two, like, the guys didn't execute well. The offensive line didn't block well. The pass protection was bad. The run blocking was bad. And then I also do think there is some logic in trying to run the ball. So I think it's a mixture of things. Like, I don't think they sit there and go, well, this game's over. I just think they thought they could run the ball against the Bills. It was raining. It was cold. And it didn't work. So it is weird that they've had two halves this year where Jalen hasn't completed a pass. Like, it is, and that's telling. Like, one time can be a fluke. Two times, there's something there. I do think Jalen is a streaky player. I do think the offense has had trouble being consistent, and there's been stretches where they've been really bad for halves, right? And we just saw that. So I don't think, honestly, I don't think it was a mentality thing. I think it was how they wanted to try to manage the game, and it just didn't work out. Now, the other thing Nick said that I thought was noteworthy, I'm not going to play the audio here, but he was asked a question about, you know, Jalen, or he was asked a question about the offense running into a lot of loaded boxes and if Jalen has time to make the adjustment at the line. And Nick's answer was kind of like, it might look like a loaded box, but it's really not. So he kind of got into that. But what I did think was interesting was he says, you know, the amount of time at the line that a quarterback has is critical. And I'm paraphrasing, that's basically what he said. Like, he acknowledged, like, you need time at the line to look at what you're doing. Well, the Eagles are the slowest team in the NFL at getting to the line, and they snap the ball later in the clock than anybody else. And not to keep harping on this, but it's just crazy that it's week going into the final game of the season, going into week 18, going into the playoffs, and we're still talking about snapping the ball late being an issue. And when Nick's been asked about it repeatedly, we've asked players about it, and it's always, you know, it's a bunch of different things. It's like a group unit to make it happen. Well, the fact that it still is not working is mind-boggling. And again, we talked about this early in the year. I said I thought it was a sign of a larger problem. Like, them not getting this fixed is crazy to me. And honestly, when I look back at this year, or I'll even put it this way, as they go into the playoffs, I think the two biggest concerns with this team are the running game and the fact that they are sloppy. And I will put getting to the line late as something that is a sloppy thing, whether that's players not getting back to the huddle quick enough, whether that's, you know, the play call coming in and it needing to be repeated, whether it's a player needing it repeated after Jalen says it, whether it's guys not being in the right place and having to move, like, whatever it might be, it is not the sign of a well-oiled machine. And going into the playoffs, the Eagles, I think, have improved. I do think they are once again playing their best football at the end of the season, but they are still making sloppy mistakes that they don't normally make under Nick Sirianni. So I just thought for Nick to say and to acknowledge, like, getting to the line is something critical for the quarterback. Well, it's not happening. And so I thought that was a concerning thing from Nick. All right. So finally, before we get into the Jalen Hurts rewatch report card, I did take some extra time this week and watch the running game. I always watch the running game, but I spent more time on it this week because I really do think, and I said this on CBS after the game, like the most disappointing thing in this game was the fact that they couldn't run the ball. The Bills on the season were giving up an average, I think, of 5.4 yards per carry, and the Eagles ended the game averaging just over 3 yards a carry. And super disappointing in a lot of ways. Like, this should have been the game where, like Baltimore last year, they go into a tough place and they control the ball and they run the ball. Like, that should have been what this game was about. If you told me they won, I would have guaranteed that's what we'd be talking about, is the running game is going again. They beat a tough opponent. Like, boom, here the Eagles go. And it just didn't play out that way. And it was disappointing, I think, for them that they weren't able to run the ball at the level they wanted to. So when I rewatched the running plays, all 22, each running play, a couple things really stood out to me. One, Cam Jurgens is really struggling. Like, he's not having a great year. He didn't have a great game. There were a handful of snaps, like 4 or 5 snaps, where guys just get right by him. And the issue with a guy getting right by Cam is he's right in the middle. So a lot of times, and Brett Coleman said this in his recap, like, They Saquon was right there. Like, there was no chance for Saquon. And I actually think Saquon came across really well in the rewatch. Like, he made guys miss. He made yards that weren't really there. I think it's in some ways kind of like the best he's looked, not all year, but he looks very good heading into the postseason. The issue is the blocking is just, it's really bad. Like, Cam Jurgens had a bad game. Fred Johnson had a bad game. And the times they tried to run it up the middle, there's just no room to run. Like, you know, for the all 22, there's two different ways they show it to you. It depends what way the team is going. But so some of all 22, I'm looking, for lack of a better way to describe it, like at Jalen. And then for some of the all 22 plays, I'm looking at Jalen's back, right? And so the ones where I'm looking at Jalen, it can be a bit tougher to look at the blocking, at least for me. Maybe for some film people, it's not as hard. But when you're looking at the ones of at Jalen, it's like Saquon just disappears into a pile. And it's like he's got no shot, right? And then you watch the plays where you start from Jalen's back, and you can just see there is nowhere to run when they try to run up the middle. And the Bills are not good at stopping the run. So that is, like, without question, my biggest concern with this team heading into the playoffs. It is the running game. And you could make that in a different way and say it's the offensive line. Like, they're just still not playing well. Landon's not playing well. Cam's not playing well. We do the show with Mylott every week. He's honest about how he's played this year. Fred Johnson, I think, is, like, playing admirably for a backup, but he's not been great. Like, their offensive line's a big problem, and it really, really showed up in the running game. And not only did it show up in the running game, it showed up in the passing game. And when I watched the Jalen Hurts game again, a lot of thoughts on the offensive line. So on the other side, we're going to get into the Jalen Hurts rewatch report card from the Eagles win over the Buffalo Bills. So that'll be on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
So good, so good, so good.
New year, new gear. Thousands of fresh active styles are at Nordstrom Rack stores now. Save on top brands like Nike, Puma, and Free People, starting at just $35.
How did I not know Rack has Adidas?
There's always something new.
Plus, join the Nordy Club to shop new arrivals first, unlock exclusive discounts, and more. Great brands, great prices. That's why you Rack.
Every day at Sierra, you'll find top brand apparel, footwear, and gear for 20 to 60% less than department and specialty store prices. And during clearance time at Sierra, those incredible prices are 40 divided by 2.5, carry the 1, even lower. And when you shop clearance at Sierra, you can save a whole lot more on everything you need to get active and outside. That's a lot of saving. Epic brands, fast selection, teeny tiny prices. That's Sierra. Visit your local Sierra store today or shop online at sierra.com.
All right, Let's get into Jalen Hurts' game against the Buffalo Bills. Now, I will preface this by saying two large picture thoughts. First of all, the offense was not good enough in the game overall. And while they won the game, which Jalen gets credit for, he also, as the quarterback, deserves blame when the offense does not function for an entire half, when he doesn't complete a pass for the entire half. He deserves blame for that. He shoulders blame for it, much like Nick Sirianni and Kevin Pitullo get blamed when players on the field make mistakes. Even though they are not the ones making the mistakes, they are responsible for it. So Nick, Kevin Pitullo, and Jalen hold the most responsibility in this offense operating at a high level. And the offense did not operate at a high level in the second half, and that is on Jalen. The flip side of it is they did win the game. They did win the game. And I thought Jalen was the best quarterback on the field on Sunday. I thought he outplayed Josh Allen. So there was kind of, again, like, you know, the exact perfect description for this, like a tale of two halves, and in some ways like a tale of two takes. You could go with the offense was terrible in the second half. They only scored 13 points. No way Jalen was good. Or you could go with he played well, outplayed Josh, or he played well in the first, or beyond well in the first half, outplayed Josh Allen and didn't make a critical mistake. And when I gave Jalen my initial grade at the end of the game, I gave him a C-. I leaned more towards the offense only scored 13 points. They were really bad in the second half. He deserves a ton of blame for that. When I rewatched the game, though, as I kind of said in the first part of the pod, he was way better than I thought in the first half, and I didn't think he held as much blame. While the offense was really bad in the second half, I didn't think he held as much blame in that second half as other parts of the team. So let's get into it. As always, we'll go over some plays throughout the game, tell you what I saw, and give you my overall thought on where he landed. So Jalen ended the game 13 of 27, 115 total yards, only 5 rushing yards, by the way. Didn't really do much with his legs yet again. 1 touchdown, no turnovers. And like I said, I gave him a C- after the game. Let's go play by play, and I'll tell you where I ended up giving Jalen. So first quarter, first play of the game, 1st and 10, 14:53 to play. This is the deep pass to Dotson. And as we know, they came out against the arguably worst run defense in the NFL, and they threw it 3 times in a row. Don't love that. I don't. Like, and they'll tell you they had looks that made it more advantageous to pass as opposed to run. I do think this is a moment where you go, you know what? We're coming in this game to running the ball, and we're going to run it. And I just didn't like coming out with 3 straight passes. So especially in the cold and the rain, didn't like it. So first play of the game, it's a pass to Dotson. Jalen kind of bootlegs out and rolls. Dotson's coming down the field. Or going down the field, I should say. I thought the ball needed to come out sooner. I thought Dotson was open. There was a safety over the top, but I think there was enough room there to get him the ball. The ball does hit his hands, like his outstretched hands, as like the ball's going out of bounds. I think it's a catch you would like him to make in the way that they traded a 3rd-round pick for him. He's been in the league for a while. But it just felt like a missed opportunity. Like, there was a chance for a big play there at the beginning of the game. And so I could see why they ran the play. I just didn't like running 3 passes in a row. So the second play, it seems pretty clear Jalen wants to go to AJ on the hitch route. It isn't there. I thought it wasn't a great route by AJ. Again, another game where it just stands out to me. AJ jogs a little bit more than the rest of the players. I think there's got to be a reason for it, but it just stands out. Like, his routes don't seem as crisp as the other receivers. So he tries to look at AJ. It's not there. Goes back to Devontae, but Devontae's covered. At this point, pressure comes in his face. To me, it looks like he's just trying to throw the ball at Devontae to get rid of it. I don't think there's a true attempt to complete the pass, but it was not a good throwaway. Like, it was way on the defender side. It was like at his hip. I think he threw the ball fast and hard, so it would have been hard to intercept. But the only person that had a chance to catch that was the defender. Like, so I didn't think it was a good throwaway. Now, third play, it's 3rd and 10. They've run it. I mean, they've passed it twice. They've both been incomplete. So they've killed no time off the clock. It's 14:41, and they've got no yard. So their first drive of the game, they're in a 3rd and long. The throw is to AJ. He throws it on time. It's accurate, but it's short of the sticks. It's only 8 yards on 3rd and 10. So they end up having to punt the ball. So just a really not great start to the offense. But Jalen did. I honestly didn't really think any of these were on Jalen. Like, the 3rd down play was a good throw. The first play of the game, I thought it probably could have came out a little sooner. But that second play, like, I don't think anything was there. So that, to me, like, a common theme, and if you've listened to me throughout the season, you know, a common theme when Jalen is struggling is the ball's not out on time accuracy has been one actually an issue this year, but also more like he doesn't throw it. Like I'll talk a lot about plays where it's like it should be thrown and he's not throwing it. That wasn't really the case in this game at all. In fact, maybe there'll be one I forgot, but I don't think there was a single play where that happened. So next time they have the ball, 3:28, second and six, a really nice play by Hurts. And this was like the offense at its finest, right? Hurts knows exactly where he wants to go with it. He has a ton of time. The pocket's clean, is clean. AJ's open. The pass was good. 27-yard completion. So just like the offense clicking, really good. Later in the drive, 2:15 to play in the first quarter, second and seven. Didn't like the play call. It's a wide receiver screen to AJ. And I can't tell you how many times this year I've seen them try to do a screen where there's nobody blocking or like one blocker and more defenders than blockers. So they throw the ball to AJ, but only Devontae's blocking. There are three defenders there. AJ does get 6 yards, so it's not like a terrible play on second and seven. You turn it into third and one, I get it. But they've been so bad this year at turning these into explosive plays or anything close to an explosive play. So I just don't like when they do this. But yeah, they did that. They get it to third and one. 39 seconds to go. It's a second and one play. This is a touchdown to Goddard. It's a great play call. Goddard's wide open as two defenders kind of go with Calcaterra. It's not a tough throw, but Jalen does throw it perfectly. Nice execution by everybody involved. The protection was good. The throw was good. The play call was good. The catch was good. Goddard's really been like a savior for them in the red zone this year. So they get the first touchdown of the game. Like they're up. They're up 7-0. All right. Second quarter, 10:18 to play. Second and four. This was a bad miss. This was probably his worst miss of the game. The pocket is clean. Jalen has time. And we've seen that. We've seen it this year in games with extreme weather that Jalen does kind of struggle to throw the ball a long distance in weather. Like he just doesn't have an arm that slices through wind. So the pocket's clean, but the pass just dies on Jalen. And he's wide open. Like, and honestly, my thought watching the play was this is why they need to avoid going to Chicago. And it doesn't sound like they're going to play their starters on Sunday. So we'll see what happens. But it was just like the ball just died on him. Like he's right there. He's in the pocket and it just doesn't get to Devontae. So this was easily the worst miss of the game for Jalen. Now he does follow that up with a nice throw. It's not as far of a throw, but he does put some zip on it. It's third and four, 10-12 to play in the second quarter. It's a throw to Devontae between two defenders for a first down. Just like a really nice throw. Good job finding Devontae in the window. Between two defenders, like it almost looks like the ball goes through a defender's hand. Like that's how close it is to being deflected, but he gets the ball to him. Super nice throw. As always, Jalen making a play on third down. And he did that a lot in the first half. Third and 10, he gets a pass to AJ for the first down. And one consistent theme in this was the pocket breaking down quickly. So the pocket breaks down almost immediately. It looked like Mailata gets pushed back. Devontae's open, but he's short of the sticks, so Jalen can't throw it, A, because of the pressure, but also Devontae's well short of the sticks. It's third and 10. So he maneuvers the pocket. This is the one where he kind of like steps up in the pocket, steps back. He's holding the ball with two hands. He gets out the pocket, and he throws it to AJ with a perfect pass between two defenders. The Eagles tweeted out this like sick slow-mo replay of the play. The spiral on the ball is not the best, but it does get to AJ. It's a tight window throw. He's on the move. He creates it. It's a scramble drill. So just like an elite play by Jalen there. Now on this next play, 7:01 to play, third and 12, wasn't able to get anything going. And again, he's pressured immediately. I thought Fred Johnson got beat by Joey Bosa. And he actually does make three guys miss. Like at one point, it's just Jalen running as three Bills kind of trip over each other. So he gets out of the pocket. He's running. This is the play where he gets drilled going out of bounds. Absolutely should have been a flag. And I am never really one to say a hit is dirty. I think that it is hard when you are a defender running really fast to slow up. It's hard to always know where you're at. Like it is what it, but like it is what it is. Jalen was hit out of bounds and it should have been a flag. So really should have been a conversion. Obviously not a conversion in the way where he made a play, but the third and four pass he completed, the third and 10 pass he completed, and on third and 12, he evaded pressure, ran, and got to a point where he got hit and it should have been a flag. So I thought Jalen was good on third downs early in the game. in the first half. The last play of the second half that stood out to me, 5:15 to play, or 5:50 to play, 2nd and 9. This is the play where AJ's arm got held. It's a really nice play design and throw. It should have been a big play, if not a touchdown, but it was a nice throw by Jalen. AJ was where he wanted him and really should have been a completion inside the 5. AJ almost comes down with it regardless, but was clearly hold. Like, his arm is clearly held, and it was clearly pass interference. So, some common themes in the first half that I thought were impressive from Jalen. Like, big throws on third down. I thought a lot of accurate throws. He did have the one bad miss to Devontae. But I thought, despite the pass protection not being good, and again, like, almost no help from the running game, that he still got the team down the field. Like, it reminded me a little bit of the Dallas game in week 1, and it was different because he ran a lot in that game. But in terms of, like, Jalen made things happen on offense when things weren't happening otherwise. And so I thought Jalen had an awesome first half. Now, the second half, obviously, things don't go as well. And what really stood out to me was just the lack of options for Jalen, which, again, is not something I normally say or see in the tape. So 12:07 to play, 1st and 10. Only 2 players go out on a route. Neither are open. Hurts throws it away. 11:18, 3rd and 12. Like, the pressure gets to him right away. Fred Johnson is beat. He avoids it and he throws it away. But again, at the top of his drop, I didn't think anybody was open. And then when the pressure was there, I didn't think anyone, like, opened on the scramble drill. So no one open on the first drive of the game. I'm sorry, of the second half. 6:28 to play, 1st and 10. Again, like, no one's open. And this is going to be a common theme in breaking down these plays in the second half. Hurts tries to get it to AJ. I don't think there was a throw there to be made. I mean, it's a throw they do connect on quite a bit, but it's batted away. But I didn't think, like, AJ was wide open. I didn't think Jalen held on to it too late. It was just really tight coverage, but it was the best option he had. And it just doesn't, it's not completed. 6:25 to play, 2nd and 10. So the next play after that one, this is the overturned Devontae catch. Devontae gets open. He creates separation at the top of the route. This is one where I do think, like, it was behind him for sure. The ball kind of floats on Jalen, so Devontae adjusts to it in the air. Still was a catch. Again, like, it's a Devontae catch, not a Jalen completion. The pocket's pretty clean. He probably should have had a better throw on it. This was really, you know, the only play in the second half I thought was on Jalen. But it still should have been a catch. Like, Devontae had it. 6:20 to play, 3rd and 10. Now, also worth noting that for the perception that they took their foot off the pedal, which I think they did try to lean on the run more, like, look at this drive. 1st and 10 throw, 2nd and 10 throw, 3rd and 10 throw. So Jalen moves out of the pocket almost immediately on third down. Not really sure why. I thought he could have maybe stayed in there a little bit longer. If he does, maybe as AJ crossing the field. Instead, it's kind of a dead play once Jalen moves and he throws the ball away. Final play of the third quarter that stood out to me, 52 seconds, 3rd and 6, in his own end zone. Nobody open at the top of the drop. Pressure gets there quickly. Fred Johnson beat again, avoids a safety, gets out of the end zone, but he is sacked. Still, I thought, like, a good play by Jalen overall. Nobody's open. The pressure's there. I think a good amount of quarterbacks might have been sacked on that play. The fourth quarter, like, only 2 plays stood out to me from a passing perspective. And again, he only threw it 7 times in the second half. So 11:23 to play, 3rd and 6. Again, nobody's open. Hurts avoids pressure and throws it away, but he isn't sacked. Like, that one's not on Jalen. And then the final play I wanted to talk about, 3:35 to play, 3rd and 12. They obviously have to throw it here. This is the pass that goes through Devontae's hands down the sideline. A tight window, but a better throw, and it's, like, probably caught, but I still think he tried to put it where only Devontae could get it. Goes through Devontae's hand. Nice effort by Devontae. I wouldn't qualify it as a drop. Like, he should have had it, but it wasn't, like, some easy pass that bounced off his hands. I like the decision by Jalen. I thought the throw was good enough. It just falls incomplete, and that's the last throw of the game for Jalen. So, like I said, I gave him a C- after the game initially. When I rewatched it, I bumped that up to a B. I do think he was better in the first half than I thought. And in the second half, while he deserves blame for the fact the offense struggled, I thought the pass protection was a bigger issue. I thought nobody getting open was a bigger issue. And again, the biggest issue in the game was they were unable to run the ball. And that's the biggest concern for this team heading into the postseason. But they are going to the postseason, and we will know soon who their opponent will be. Well, not that soon. We won't know till Sunday. But we'll talk about all week who we want them to play and things they need to improve on. So hopefully we're going on another deep playoff run with you guys. So go out, enjoy your day. Until next time, he's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Here we have the Limu Emu in its natural habitat, helping people customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Fascinating. It's accompanied by his natural ally, Doug.
Limu? Is that guy with the binoculars watching us?
Cut the camera. They see us.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.